May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we follow. Amen. The text I want to talk about today is the Gospel from Mark 10. Please pray with me. Lord, richly bless the preaching, the teaching, the hearing of your word this day. May it not return to you empty, but accomplish what you desire in our hearts. Work in us repentance, faith, understanding, that we follow you all our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who here has it all? You look at your life and you say, I got it all. I got my hand up really high. You got it all, Pat? Who here says, I got nothing? Come on, won the football game yesterday. You got something anyway. Who here says, I'm somewhere in between. I'm not really sure whether I have it all or not. A lot of you just don't want to answer. You don't want to be wrong, huh? That's okay. In the perspective of eternity, heaven and hell, either you have it all or you have nothing. There's no in between. As you sit in the pew right now, from God's eyes, God's perspective, either you have it all or you have nothing. There's no fence sitting. You have it all, you got nothing. And that is a lesson of the gospel reading today from Mark 10. We meet a man in this story. It's a short little story, what, six verses? Meet a man who looks like he has it all. This guy, from a worldly perspective, has it all. I note three things he has, which we all want. First of all, he has great respect for his Lord. Notice the beginning of the text. He runs up to Jesus and he kneels before Jesus. What great respect for Jesus. He kneels before him without being demanded it of him. You know, we kneel in church sometimes. We have Lent here before Easter when we kneel, a season of repentance. We have Advent coming up, the season before Christmas, where we, season of repentance, we kneel. But I don't think we really do it willingly, do we? Oh, my knees hurt. Oh, my back hurts. Do I have to kneel? I don't feel like kneeling. This guy, it's not forced upon him. He just naturally, out of respect and honor for Jesus, he kneels before Jesus. Great respect. And then he calls Jesus good teacher. A nice title shows respect. As Jesus notes, it's like calling Jesus God, because only God is good. The man, in a way, is calling Jesus God. He's very respectful. Back in that day, the religious leaders called Jesus a blasphemer. They called him demon-possessed. He was a Sabbath breaker, a friend of sinners, a sinner himself. There's all sorts of slander about Jesus back then. This guy stands out in the crowd, good teacher, kneels before Jesus. And when it comes to respect for God, this guy's got it all. He's a role model. Secondly, he is righteous. This is a good guy. None of us are as good as this guy, are we? He asks Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? Excellent question, by the way. There's another role model. We should be thinking about heaven, not just things on this earth. And Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, bear false witness, defraud, honor your mom and dad. You know the commandments. And notice, without hesitation, the guy doesn't think about it. He's confident in himself. Without hesitation, he says, all these I have kept from my youth. What a good guy. He is probably popular. He has many friends. I mean, a guy that's that good, never murdered anybody, never hated anybody, never held a grudge, forgives people, and then never stole anything, did not commit adultery, no lust after other women, doesn't bear false witness, doesn't gossip or slander at all, no defrauding people, no lying, honors his mom and dad, and all that from youth. Well, let's face it, some of us think we're good, but we would readily admit, well, you know, when I was in junior high, when I was in high school, I sowed a few wild oats. I was kind of a bad guy. Made some mistakes, and I regret it. I think all of us would say that, wouldn't we? I disobeyed mom and dad. I talked back to mom and dad, a little bit rebellious. Let alone today we confessed our sins. This guy is a good guy. He is righteous. Kept them all from his youth. When it comes to righteousness, he appears to have it all. And then on top of that, thirdly, he is rich. Can you beat that? Respect for God, He is righteous, a good guy, and he is rich, filthy rich. We read at the end of the text, he has great possessions. He's probably smart. He's a good businessman. He's educated. He's made wise investments. He's a hard worker. He has a great reputation in the town. This guy has it all. You know, here in Tennessee, everybody loves Peyton Manning, right? Peyton Manning. Why? Because he's a guy who has it all, we say, right? I mean, he's rich. Talking about a rich guy, Peyton Manning, he's rich. And on top of that, he appears to be a good guy. Not off getting in trouble, being arrested like some of the other NFL players. He's just a good guy, seems to be fairly humble, even though he's really good. And maybe he has kind of a respect for God in his life, too. Has it all. And this guy, in a way, even though it's a short story, kind of like the Peyton Manning of the Bible. He just has it all. Or does he? Or does he? In Jesus' eyes, he has nothing. And that's what counts. What Jesus has to say. What God has to say. Notice after the man says, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Notice Jesus doesn't look at him and say, "Oh, don't worry about it, young man. Obviously you're going to get into heaven. Why even ask the question? You're such a good guy. You're so righteous. You're so wealthy. You're so respectful. Certainly you're the role model. If there's a guy that's going to get into heaven, it's you. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. You're going to have the best seat in heaven. You're going to be right next to the Father and the Holy Spirit and me. You're so good. You're the role model. You're the example. You're going to be in heaven. Don't worry about it." That's not what Jesus says. That's what we would say. This guy's going to make it. He's in. But Jesus loved him. I'm going to tell him the truth because he loves him. "You lack one thing." This is the first time probably in this guy's life he ever heard he lacked something. He's never heard before anybody say to him, "You lack something." "What, I lack something?" "Yes, you lack something. Go sell all you have and come follow me." What does the guy lack? One word, the guy lacks Jesus. That's why Jesus says, "Follow me, you need me." He lacks Jesus. And so without Jesus, he has nothing. Even though it appears he has everything, he has nothing. Christ is saying, "All your respect for me is not enough. All your self-righteousness, your good works is not enough because you're a sinner from your youth and beyond. And all your wealth, your riches is nothing. It's not enough. You can't buy yourself one second into heaven. God doesn't care on judgment day how much money you made or how big your house is or what kind of job you have. It's not enough." The R word he needs is not respect or righteousness or riches. The R word he needs is reliance. He needs to rely on Jesus, trust in Jesus, put his faith in Jesus. Jesus' righteousness is good enough for him, good enough for all of us. Jesus' death, his resurrection. When Christ says, "Come, follow me," he's saying, "Come to the cross with me. I'll show you how you get into heaven. Come to the cross where I will die for all your sins and shed my blood for you. That's how you get in. Come see my resurrection. I'll rise from the grave. Come see that. Be a witness of that. And know I've conquered sin, death, and hell. Know that I'm more than a good teacher. I am God in the flesh. Come to deliver you." That's what you need. You need me. This is Jesus' way of saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You're not good enough, buddy. You need me. You want heaven? You want to live forever? You want to rise from the grave? You want paradise? It's Jesus. Jesus. Who is it? Jesus. Who is it? Jesus. And so we have the very sad ending, the sad, is there a sadder ending to a Bible story than this? Disheartened by the saying, "He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He went away from Jesus? He's not near as smart as we thought he was. He deserted Jesus. He left Jesus. He has the Son of God in his midst saying, "Come follow me." God himself in me is eternal life. And he leaves. He walks away for money. This guy has nothing. He rots in hell. Unless he repented later in his life. And we certainly hope he did. We have no, we don't have that scripture anywhere. Looks like he has it all. It's been 2,000 years. This guy's dead, probably in hell. He'd say he has nothing and had nothing when he walked on earth because he didn't have Jesus. Enough about this guy. What about you, friend? You're living. What about you? You want to go home sad, ignoring Jesus, walking away from Jesus? You want to go home rejoicing? Believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. We all want heaven. We all want to live forever. A great question, how can I get to heaven? How can I be in paradise? We all want to rise from the grave and live forever with God. We don't want to go to hell, we want to go to heaven. We all want that. Christ is here. The good news is this. Christ who died and rose, who was there 2,000 years ago in Mark 10, he stands here today. He is with us. He's alive. He's right here. And in this gospel lesson, his hand is out grabbing you. He won't force you, but he will grab you with all his power and his love. He loves you. He would grab you and say, come follow me. Sacrifice everything and come follow me. Put your faith in me. Trust in my righteousness, not your own. Trust in my death. Trust in my resurrection. Trust that in my blood there's forgiveness. Come follow me. Give up everything and come follow me. Rely totally on me. Put your faith totally in me. I'm it. Don't trust yourself. It's me. Or it's nothing. You know, the last month, there's this, maybe a couple months, there's been this commercial on for Hardee's, the big Hardee's burger. Who's had the Hardee's burger? Okay, Richard's had one, I assume that. You probably assume I've had one, two, or maybe three or four. But the commercial always gets my attention because it shows the hamburgers. And I salivate. And it has the Hardee's burger, the new Hardee's burger, next to the Big Mac. A comparison. And we all know the Big Mac, come on, two patties, what else? Special sauce, sesame seed bun, cheese, pretty good burger. Then the Hardee's burger, the new Hardee's burger, it doesn't have a piece of bread in the middle. What's it got? Another patty, another piece of meat, two pieces of cheese, I think, and $2.29. And there's the comparison, Hardee's burger versus Big Mac. I mean, it's obvious you want the Hardee's burger. And the last month, you know, I've really wanted to sometime go get a Hardee's burger. Tomorrow you buy. But I haven't gone yet. Haven't gone yet. You want to know why? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, habit. I just always go to McDonald's. The yellow arches, I just go to McDonald's. McDoubles, whatever. Just McDonald's. And number two, impatience. McDonald's is fast, right? It's fast food. You get through quick. And Hardee's, man, you wait there for 10 minutes for them to fry the burger. I don't have time. I don't want to wait that long. I want it now. Well, you know, that's not a bad illustration for life. We know Jesus to be the Son of God. There's riches in heaven in Jesus. He's the Savior, the Lord. But some of us and much of the world just won't follow. They won't believe. They won't be baptized. Come to church. Hear the word of God. Take instruction. They just won't do that, number one, because of habit. Is that you? Habit? You know, I just don't go to church. It's just not what we do in my family. It just Christianity, just habit. I golf on Sunday mornings. I sleep in. It's my day off. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to hear the word of God. Just habit. It's not like you hate Christ. You just bad habit. Well, the other is impatience. Because following Christ is hard. It's sacrifice. You may suffer. You may lose your friends. It involves service to others. You may not be popular. You go to the cross, you bear your cross. Christianity doesn't really get good until you go to heaven. Let's be honest. Christianity really gets good when you die. Then there's treasure in it. Then there's glory. The resurrection of the flesh, a new body. We're just not patient enough for it. I want it all right now. I'm not sure I'm so patient to follow Christ to get to heaven. You know, it's no big deal if I don't go get the Hardee's burger. It's a really, really big deal if you don't believe in Christ and are not baptized and follow him. That's a really big deal. That's an eternal deal. Let me be clear. With Jesus, you have it all. I don't care how poor you are financially. I don't care if you lost your job. I don't care if you have cancer, you're sick, you're dying. I don't care how bad you are. I've committed a million sins, Pastor. You don't know them all. I've committed them too. No matter how poor and bad and guilt-ridden you are, if you have Christ, you believe and are baptized, you have it all. You got it all. Period. But if you don't have Jesus, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how respectful you are towards God now and then. I don't care how many good works you do. Neither does God care. You have nothing. You really have nothing. And you'll be in hell. Don't blame me. That's what God's Word says. That's what the text teaches. With Jesus, there's mercy. Without Jesus, there's misery. With Jesus, there's life. Without Jesus, there's death. With Jesus, there's salvation. Without Jesus, there's sorrow. With Jesus, there's heaven. Without Jesus, there's hell. With Jesus, you have it all. Without Jesus, you have nothing. Any questions? Will you follow Jesus and have it all? Or will you forsake Him and have nothing? What will you do? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.